Welcome into another edition of Football 52. I am Brady Hull, and no Coach Lamb this week. Coach Lamb is off. I'm not quite sure exactly what he's doing. Probably something extremely important. But I always tell him, like, Coach, I love this podcast. I love catching up with you every single week. But it's also a nice change of pace when we can get the coordinators in here or different players coming in here. And, of course, one of those guys that I've been wanting to get on this podcast, or at least my show, the whole show, for a long time now. But joining us in the studio, in the podcast studio for Football 52, defensive coordinator for the UNC Bears, Preston Hadley. Coach, thank you so much for being in here, man. It's an honor. It's a joy to have you in the studio.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
How you been, man? How you doing? It's July 17th. We're getting dangerously close to game number one for the Bears.
We're really excited. This is kind of the point in the summer where, you know, you're enjoying the downtime, or what we consider downtime in college football, and just the being able to just enjoy all the things that summer brings, you know. But there's this anticipation, there's this this itch that you have to really get going. And so we're right about 2 weeks now, and
yeah.
But it's been good. We've been spending a lot of time with the players. Our schedule's really been unique this year, because typically the month of July is coaches' vacation, you know, where, you know, coaches go back to their hometowns or travel or whatever they need to do. And just because it's a dead period in recruiting, there's restrictions with how much time you can spend with the players. And so usually in most programs, and in my experience as a college football coach, usually the boys are just spending all this time with the strength coaches. Our schedule this year, we've still taken time time off throughout the year at different times, the way that Ed structured it. But we're with the players right now. So yesterday we were out, you know, doing walkthroughs, doing individual, doing skills and fundamentals with the players, you know, in addition to being out there in their lift, you know, because, you know, as coaches, strength staff, position coaches, you know, we're allowed 8 hours a week with them. And so the way we've built that in is, you know, a couple days a week we're able to do these with the players. And so right now we're just so far ahead of where we would be, you know, had we not been taking this time in July. And like I said, this is the first most places I've been back home or out on the lake, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's been, we're excited. I'm just really excited about where we're at. We were just meeting yesterday as a staff, you know, as a defensive staff, and just kind of talking about where we're at in comparison to where we want to be and what we need to do to get there. And no, we're really excited about where we're at. Just you can feel there's good energy in the program right now.
Yeah, and I want to get into some specifics too about the defensive side, kind of how you view it, you know, as far as maybe some of the strengths right now. But we'll get to that in a moment. There was something, two things. You're talking about the downtime, the offseason. That's one of the things I've learned in this podcast going every single week. There's something going on with you guys. I mean, it doesn't even feel like there really is downtime. Because every time Coach is in here, it's like, we got this, we got that, we got this. I don't know how you keep track of these schedules, of the windows. It blows my mind as far as when you can talk to players or potential players. And then the other note, Coach, is you talk about the vibe, the feeling right now. There was something last week. Ed Lamb came in, and he's always fun to talk to, no matter what. But he came in last week, and there was like a bigger smile on his face throughout the podcast. And he's just talking about how guys are really buying in, and you can see it on the field. Guys are really committed, where this message back in December when we started this, or January, was like, hey, we got to get him there. And I'm going to be preaching these things like, hey, the portal is your friend, like that kind of thing, you know. None of that. And it just seems like, kind of to piggyback off what you're talking about, the vibe is where you want it to be at this point in mid-July.
Yeah, I think culturally, I think the program's in a great place, you know, and man, the difference that a year makes, you know, for you know, us as coaches to really learn like what this place is. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that just takes time. Anytime you, you know, you come to a new program, it takes some time to figure out what this place is, how the athletic department moves, what the community involvement is like, just to really get a feel for the temperature of just this whole operation in general. And you're seeing a higher level of buy-in. And to credit our players, man, I think that they're as far as the effort and the intent last season, I really didn't feel like there was ever any letdowns as far as that goes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the boys played hard and they played with belief through the very end, even though the outcomes didn't always go the way that we had hoped for. But you are seeing it, you know, and you're seeing that the players they want to be here, you know, they like to be in the facility, they like to be in the weight room. You're seeing the miracle of team take place right now, and that's why, you know, football really is the greatest team sport, because you need each other. And if on any given play all 11 aren't in sync, you know, usually there's things that go down that aren't in your favor. And so but we're really encouraged as a staff. I'm really encouraged by the defense and just where we're at, and I think that we are aligned right now. And I think that's what, you know, all great programs have is alignment. And I think you're starting to see that. And there's other sports at UNC that you're already seeing as well. Like, they're aligned with the training staff, the compliance team, the academic staff. Like, you use softball, for example. Like, they've, you know, strung together two great seasons. Basketball, you see what they're doing this year. And I think they're really, you know, trailblazing this thing, you know, wrestling, and so for us as a football staff, it's good to see that and see how, you know, these other programs around UNC are aligning themselves with other organizations, you know, within the athletic department, and you're seeing it. Players aligned with each other, coaches aligned with each other, coaches and players aligned with each other, coordinators aligned with the head coach, you know, as far as sharing the same vision, you know, that Ed has come in with for UNC and seeing how it all comes together, you know, and then that trickles down to the defense and just our goals that we're striving for. Because defensively, you know, as we sat down as a staff when we first got here, you know, we really, you know, you ask yourselves, like, what does it look like or what is required to play great defense? And we've got some great coaches on our staff who have coached a lot of football. And, you know, I myself have had the unique opportunity of as a player being a part of one of the best defenses in the country, and also as a coach being a part of one of the best defenses in the country as well, you know, and finishing, you know, from a statistical standpoint, you know, top five in the country in scoring and a lot of other major categories. And so we sat down as a staff and asked ourselves, okay, what does it take to play a great defense? Just in everyone's experience, what skills and fundamentals, basic skills and fundamentals, can we develop in order to play great defense, or which ones are required to play great defense? You know, we sat down and we decided, and there's a whole list of, you could name 30 things, right? But there's, you only have so much time, and you can only just focus on just so much. And so we really whittled it down and narrowed it down to a few things that we focus on daily now, skills and fundamentals to play great defense. And when it comes to just our goals as a defense, you know, a lot of times when you come in, you're like, okay, our goal, we're going to hold teams to X amount of points a game, or X amount of yards passing, or this many yards rushing, or this yards per carry. You know, there's all these quantifiable goals, right? And as we sat down and as we discussed that, a lot of those goals, and this is where, you know, coming here, I've really changed my approach just as a coach, but our goals need to be based off of things that you can control. And so, you know, let's just take points per game. Like, let's just say our goal is to hold teams to less than 24 points a game. The problem with that is you don't have full control over that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if you're standing on the sideline and, you know, their kick return team runs a kickback? All right, that's 7 points. We have no control over that. Offense throws a pick six. We're standing on the sideline twiddling our thumbs. You know, there's no control over that. So, you know, there's a lot of these goals that just I think we as coaches and as football guys, as players, are trying to set. A lot of these goals are, you know, I think the mistake that we've made is, you know, we don't have complete control over that. And so it really doesn't make sense to set a goal over for something that you can't control. So what are some things that we can control? Well, our level of gratitude. You can control how grateful you are. You can control your effort. You can control what type of attitude you have. Like, those are all things that you have complete control over, you know. And I think just in a day where I think people are a little bit more easily more offended than they were before, that's a choice to be offended, you know. So, like, we can set the goal. We're going to make a choice not to be offended, you know. And so those are our goals, just playing, you know, how much gratitude can you have? How great of an attitude can you have? And how much effort can you play with? And so it's really gratitude, effort, and attitude. And, you know, as I've studied gratitude, I've really developed these convictions that the foundation of our success stems from gratitude. You know, like, what if we could be the most grateful team in the country? You know, what can be accomplished from having the most gratitude out of anybody? You know, and that's just something for me personally. I just learned from my late granddad growing up. You know, he'd always preach to us as kids. You know, I was fortunate. They lived, you know, 20, 30 minutes away growing up. And I was really fortunate to learn this from him, you know, because he grew up on a farm. You know, he flew airplanes for more as a hobby, you know, just little farm airplanes and crop dusting. But he really made his living as a bus driver. And he would always preach to us every time, and he'd preach it to us and he'd live it and preach to us by his example, but to really just take care of the things that you have. And he'd always preach that you don't have to have the biggest house or the nicest car or the best of anything to take care of it. And so he taught that to us. And, you know, you come over to their house, you'd never not see their carpet vacuum, like all the line, you know how they do the lines and all that, you know what I mean? And like the yard, grass, freshly cut, like flowers, no weeds, weeded, you know, a lot of thanks to me, you know what I mean? But he lived it, you know, and that's just something that I've just come to believe, you know, like, is your car clean? Like, little things make your bed, you know, and I know people talk about it all the time. And but it's as soon as you start taking care of the things that you have, your gratitude, the amount of thankfulness that you have for that grows up. And as soon as you find gratitude, it really does make you a dangerous person. Like, if you show up with more gratitude than anybody, like, I'm going to show up early. I'm going to maximize every opportunity that I have. I'm going to play harder. Like, I measure our level of gratitude by how we take the field. You know, I don't know if you've noticed the way that we take the field, but, like, as soon as we can get consistently all 11 guys sprinting on the field, the way we take the field, like, that's how I know we're thankful, because we're just so eager and thankful to be there, you know. And that's just kind of the mindset that I developed through my own experience as a player. Like, you know, I was on some teams that had a great defense and a mediocre offense, and some great teams where the offense was rolling and the defense was mediocre. And the thing that I've come to learn, like, regardless of what's happening on the other side of the ball, we're always thankful to take the field. We throw an interception, we're cheering because it's more opportunity, another opportunity to play, you know. And so I think developing your gratitude allows you to do that, you know. And playing with gratitude, like I said, you're not gonna skip reps in the weight room if you have gratitude. You're gonna run to the football. You're gonna study film. You're gonna maximize your opportunity to get an education. And so that's really the reason behind gratitude being our goal, and taking care of what you have. That's our culture. Is, you know, the defense, like, we have a great equipment staff, but when we first got here, we asked them to leave our stuff out, and we clean up after ourselves.
Wow, you know, I love that.
The only The only person that the only people the Bears need to take care of the Bears is us, the Bears. We don't need nobody to take care of us like that.
Well, listening to you talk again, Preston Hadley, defensive coordinator for the UNC Bears, in studio here. You can hear a lot of not the exact same, but you can tell you and Coach Lamb have been around each other for a while. Talk to us about that relationship. How long? I mean, you obviously have the BYU connection. You graduated BYU, coached at BYU. Coached at Weber State, too. I want to talk about your involvement in the Big Sky Conference, because that obviously bodes well. It's another intersection, I think, for Ed Lamb coaching in the Big Sky with Southern Utah. But talk to us about when you first met Ed Lamb.
So I'd known who Ed was, Lamborghini.
Is that the nickname?
That's what some of us call it. We haven't called him that in a while, but... we just have to call him Lambo I'd known Ed I was a player, so I started out playing at Snow College, and while I was at Snow College in it's located in central Utah, small town, one street light junior college, and Ed was the head coach at SUU at that time, and so I had had some teammates get recruited and go and play for Ed at SUU, even roommates. And so I remember even going down there to support my former teammates during their spring game when, we could get away. And so I'd already known who Ed was just as a player, and then I ended up going to BYU and kind of, all right, that was as much as, I hadn't had any involvement with Ed up to that point. But then, as I got into the coaching world, Ed and I just missed each other in the Big Sky. He had just left SUU by the time the year I had gotten hired at Weber State. And, we'd work some camps and cross paths. And then we really didn't start getting to know each other until we got to BYU and, where he had previously been coaching the safeties. And then when I came, I'd coached the safeties and he'd moved to linebackers. And so, just kind of having that connection of both just coaching the safeties and just I'd be asking him about certain guys, like, what's this guy about? And so it really starts back to BYU back, and that was, 2018? So we're going on 7 years now.
Wow.
Going 7 years strong. And so, yeah, we spent the 5 years together at BYU, and then when he took this job, he said, I'm looking for a coordinator. And so it was a really great opportunity. And so I'm thankful for this opportunity, because Ed's given me the opportunity to be a coordinator and to grow and learn in this role. So, but yeah, it's been fun. Like, we know a lot of the same people. I had beef with SUU. He had beef with Weber, just from all those battles. And so it's fun. And, but yeah, it's been fun just to be around him and to learn from him and his philosophy. And I've really been fortunate to be around some and to play under and coach under some really great coaches, and Ed's one of them. And so it's been a really unique experience to be able to do that. And like I said, I have had teammates who went and I had roommates who went and played for him, and to hear how they talk about him even before before I even got to BYU, once they knew I'd be on staff with him, like, a lot of his former players have a lot of respect for him just at every stop he's been at.
What I think is interesting too is the Big Sky connection. Obviously, we've talked with Coach Lamb about the success that he had with Southern Utah. You had success with Weber State, obviously. How long were you there? You were there a couple seasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, those seasons, they packed a punch. Year, Weber State was really good. Big Sky Conference title, school record, getting into the playoffs, winning playoff games. So both of you guys have seen that success. So you're both aware of the lack of success for UNC. When Coach calls you and says, hey, this is the job I'm taking. I know it's going to be a battle. I've been here since 2005. And since the Bears have joined, became an FCS team in that Division I FCS, it's been difficult. They had a couple of stretches, I think, where they won five or six games. But outside of that, man, it's been a rough go. What is that conversation like? Is there a real portion of that conversation where it's like, I want you to come here with me and we want to change things. We want to change this place, not just the program, but how the town of Greeley and the surrounding area buys in to the University of Northern Colorado.
You know, yeah, I think every – I think every – any school you go to, any place you go, you know, I think you've got to ask when you go there. First, there's – you know, if you've ever read from the book Good to Great by Jim Collins, it's – you come in and first address the brutal facts of what this place is. And the brutal facts is UNC's number one.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's about asking, okay, what can you be the best in the world at? And, you know, I think Ed – you know, he saw that, and that's what I think gives him so much confidence, and us, all of us, so much confidence that we can really turn this into a winning organization. But yeah, I mean, Northern Colorado was you know, you mop the floor with Northern Colorado. That's just kind of the mindset. Not that you there was always good players, you know, and I never really knew like. Why they couldn't string it together, you know, and because it's not like, you know, coaches, there's been a lot of great coaches that have come through here too. It's not like there's been bad coaches or bad players or, you know, I don't think it's one specific thing, you know, but as I've been here, I think alignment is something that is something that we've been trying to focus on, and just being aligned with, you know, within the athletics organization, all organizations being aligned together, the strength staff, the equipment room, compliance, academics, you know, admin, and you're seeing that you're seeing sports being aligned, and so I think that's been a big part of it. But in coming here, yeah, I really hadn't. I mean, I just knew this was a tough place to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the grass was always long. You know, like just we were used to playing in front of bigger crowds, and just those are the brutal facts. You know, and so, but. I had no experience in Colorado, you know, out here recruiting. But as I researched it, there's actually, you know, the majority of my coaching career I spent in coaching in the state of Utah, and I think that Utah and Colorado, that they're very similar as far as the recruiting base goes. And Utah, we just made SUU multiple Big Sky championships, Weber State multiple Big Sky championships, doing it with. The majority of the team being local guys. And so the state of Colorado has 200 more high schools than the state of Utah. And there's just – and in Utah, there's now 3 FCS programs and 2 FBS programs that you're recruiting against. So you come out here, you know, you've got the 2 FBS schools, and then there's University of Northern Colorado as far as the Division I schools go.
Sure.
And so there's a lot of players to recruit. And so I just – we can go and find and put talent on the field, you know. And so in coming here, you know, knowing that, I'm like, I think we can string it together. And I think that Northern Colorado is probably more similar to SUU than it is to Weber. You know, they're just different places. Just, you know, they're not in like small – Weber's not in a small town. You know, it's in more of a, you know, a metropolitan area, just, you know, you're 30, 45 minutes outside of Salt Lake City. Ogden was more of a commuter. You know, Weber is more of a commuter town, commuter school. And so I actually think that Northern Colorado and SUU are actually built very similar, you know, just after being here. And I got a sister that lives in Cedar City, so I'm familiar with it over there. And, you know, you're just familiar with all the other programs in the state out there after a while. And so I think we can be successful here. I think you'll see it. I think, you know, we've got just on the coaching staff alone, we've got a lot of ties to the Big Sky. You know, you've got JB Hall, who's local guy from Boulder. You know, I think this is his 5th Big Sky school that he's coached at, 4th or 5th. You know, and you know Aaron Fernandez, who you already talked to, he spent, you know, 16 years in the Big Sky. Or at SUU, I guess they were the Great West at the time, but he's been in the Big Sky, you know, J-Dub, you know, and a lot of our staff. And so I think it's built very similar, and I'm excited about what we can do here. I really think that we can find success, you know, and the players deserve it. There's belief. They're the players are in. That's the thing that's most encouraging is the boys. They're in, and you're seeing it just in by how much gratitude they have for this place, and just the way they're showing up for work. Like we you know, I can't sit here and promise how many games we'll win this year, but I do know that we'll compete, and the boys are in, and that gives me a lot of confidence in our potential.
Preston Hadley, defensive coordinator for the UNC Bears, stepping in for Coach Lamb here on episode 24 of Football 52. Let's talk about this defense a lot. I feel like, you know, Coach and I have spent a lot more time on the offensive side and not necessarily – we talked obviously a lot of quarterback. You get into the quarterback side. People are curious. You know, you want to see what that position is like. But on the defensive side, you know, we spent some time talking about the defensive line with Coach Fernandez, obviously. We've talked a little bit about the secondary, but I wanted to kind of pick your brain a bit. I want to talk about the linebackers, but I really want to get a feel from you right now, if you can tell us this, what you're kind of seeing as maybe the strength for this defense, at least at this point, because I know things can change pretty quickly. One great week of lifts or workouts or this week of practice, and I know once we get into full practices, can change so many things. But right now, can you tell us kind of who you feel really, really good about, or is that too much? Are we pulling the curtain back too much, Coach?
No, like there's no secrets here, and the players who are doing things right deserve to be praised. And but I think playing great defense, it starts up front. And I felt like last season the D line was the strength of our defense. Some great individual efforts by certain guys, especially at the D tackle position. We've been really fortunate. I think we've got some of the best defensive tackles in the conference and possibly the country. You know, and I think that there's depth there. We feel really good about our two deep there with MJ, Michael Jordan, Brooks Miley, Brody Bleek, and Sam Ione Amituani, and those four, I think it really starts with those interior tackles, because if you're not right at D tackle, it's going to be a long day, and you know you're going to have a hard time stopping the run. And now you're, you know, as a play caller, and you're now forced to try and improvise and do something else. You know, if you just can't hold up at the D tackle position, and so I really feel like last season that was our strength, like. Some of our best games defensively, you know, although the score might have not reflected, I actually felt like one of our best defensive performance was against Montana, you know, where we go in and we were getting stops. You know, it might not have been the sexiest thing all the time, but I think on defense, it's just about getting off the field and getting stops. And we were doing that, you know, and I just think we just weren't able to sustain it throughout the, you know, into the second half. But, you know, we did a lot of great things. And, you know, I think statistically, I think we led the conference in interceptions. We were near the top in red zone defense and fourth down defense and rush defense, you know, as far as yards per carry. So we did a lot of things. We're not where we want to be. But I think a lot of that success should be attributed to those guys up front.
Well, and that stays consistent too with what. And again, Coach Fernandez is going to, you know, he's going to build up that defensive line. Mm-hmm. I don't fault him, but there's the honesty there of, hey, this group we feel really good about. So that to me is, it's good to hear that, because that's, you know, that's, it's been a couple of months since we had D line coach in Coach Fernandez, and hearing you kind of say it too means, man, this D line could be something else. And Coach has talked a lot about the offensive line as well, as how they look like they're gelling. Well, that my brain starts to go to, man, is it the old, you know, iron sharpening iron kind of thing, where you have this O-line, D-line going at it, making each other better every single day?
Yeah. I think just from where the O-line was when we first got here to where it's at right now, man, it's that transformation has been it's been really fun to watch, and it is, you know, I think the O-line, they're playing cleaner. Those guys have really been invested and really developed, you know, and we have a big O-line. They're big and they're still young. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of freshmen and sophomores playing, you know, really at every position, you know, and But that's just where it starts, is up front, is O-line, D-line. And if you're where you need to be there at those, in those position groups, you know, I think you give yourself a chance to win, you know, and or at least a chance to be competitive. And so that's we're going to double down on that, and it's really going to, our D-line is going to anchor this, is really going to anchor the whole defense. And some areas that we needed to improve from a year ago is at the linebacker position. And it was just a young group, you know, just a young group. But it's interesting, you know, I look at that group. It was funny. I was talking to Coach Pazak yesterday, and we pulled up a picture after our spring game a year ago. And right now, and this wasn't intentional, but right now there's only two guys in the position group that were in that picture right now, you know. And since then, there's been some transfers, some high school guys, and just some guys that were in the program that we moved from a position, you know, from a different position to linebacker. And I'm really excited about where the backers are right now. And you're starting to see certain individuals emerge as leaders, which is, as a coach, that's important, you know, because really when talent meets talent, you know, or when talent meets better talent, what's going to be your competitive advantage? You know, and I think having leaders or having guys that strive to lead, you know, or having what we call on defense being a tier one guy, you know, and that's really what's going to be the equalizer for you. And for us, being a tier one guy, so what we did as a staff, just a little side story, again, at the beginning of the summer or after spring, we're like, okay, we have three classifications of guys. There's tier one, tier two, tier three. And this is aligned with Coach Lamb's deal of focusing on player body weight, handling your business in academics, being great in the weight room, and just staying off the streets, you know?
Yep.
And for us, a tier one guy is first thing is guys that love football. That's what being a tier one guy is. And this is our criteria in recruiting. Cause if we're going to miss on a guy, it's just tier one character. Like being a tier one character guy has nothing to do with your abilities as a player. It has everything to do with your choices. And this is our criteria in recruiting. But this is the first thing we look for now is finding tier one character guys. And if we're going to miss on a guy in recruiting, we're not going to miss on his character. We're going to miss on talent.
Mm.
And so but that's why we kind of went through our roster on defense and like, okay, where is everybody? And this is Lamb's deal, but if you're thinking it, the players deserve to know it. And they deserve to know what we think of where they're at, you know, as far as their level of buy-in, what we think of their character. And so tier one character is a guy that loves football. Right. The next thing is guys that drive the culture. Next thing after that, guys that strive to lead. Those are tier one character players for us. And then guys that are trending towards their target body weight, guys that are taking care of their academics, and guys that are doing what they need to do off the field. And really, it's those six attributes that we feel make up a tier one character guy.
Mm.
And you know, we went through our whole defense and we confronted the brutal facts. The brutal facts is we don't have enough tier one players right now. And so we made a list and we met as a defense at the beginning of the summer, before we started summer training. We met with the defense and we put it up for everyone to see. You deserve to know exactly where we think you're at. Here's our tier one guys who we think is tier one. Here are our tier two guys. And we put in parentheses why we believe you're tier two, whether it's we don't think you love football enough, your academics aren't right, you're not committed enough to getting towards your target body weight, but this is why you're tier two, and then the tier three guys. And really organizationally, you know, if guys are in tier three and choose to remain as a tier three player, those are the guys that you've got to let them know the portal is your friend, because it's going to be really uncomfortable here for you, and you're just going to have a miserable experience, because we ask a lot. Like, just college football in general asks you for a lot. And for us as coaches, we are trying to ask more of our players than anybody in the country. And in order to get that from them, first, we need to ask for their permission. But second, we need to develop our gratitude, because, again, gratitude stems, the root of success comes from gratitude. And if we can find grateful players, if we can teach them gratitude, first by showing it and being an example of having gratitude, you know, I think that's how we get there. And so the brutal facts is, at the beginning of the summer, we did not have enough Tier 1 guys to play the level of defense that we wanted to. And it's fun. I'm really looking forward to it. Now what we'll do is we'll go back and reassess and how can you move from a tier to – how many guys have moved from Tier 2 to Tier 1, from Tier 3 to Tier 2, and so on and so forth. And so what's really encouraging is you've already seen it, you know, specific guys that I thought were probably Tier 1, Tier 2 guys when we first got here as a staff that are now Tier 1 guys. You know, one thing that was really encouraging, and these are the fun things to see as a coach, we host these summer camps. And so we had this was back a few weeks ago, earlier in June. So we had a team camp where I think we had 11 high school teams on our field,
sure.
You know, and we were hosting a lot, and, you know, some of them local, and, you know, their parents come out and everyone comes to watch, and, you know, people leave trash out on the field, you know,
mm-hmm.
There's trash cans, but just the nature of people, like some people are going to leave trash out. And so, I caught it from afar. I was watching through my window, through the window in the weight room, and there's a player out there picking up trash on his own after the camp had ended that day. Just out there, backpack. I think he just got out of class. I don't know what he was doing, but he was out there by himself, didn't know anybody was watching, picking up trash. And so that's a guy who wants to take care of what we have, like take
care of ownership of it too, right?
You know, and who's grateful for these things. Like, we're going to take care of it because we're grateful for this. Like, we've got a great setup. Like, our practice field setup is as good that I've been around as a coach, you know, and so we want to take care of that. Those are attributes of a Tier 1 guy. And so the more guys that we can move from out of Tier 3 to Tier 2 to Tier 1, you know, I think you're going to start seeing the outcomes. That the rest will take care of itself. That's just what I believe, is if you just focus on these things that we believe give us a competitive advantage, having more gratitude than anybody in the country, taking care of our stuff better than anybody in the country, you know, I think the score will take care of itself from there. And it was really funny when we did that. There was a lot of hurt feelings.
Sure, yeah.
There were some guys. I wasn't the most popular guy that day, you know, after we gave.
Except for with Tier 1 guys. Out.
Yeah, Tier 1 guys. And, yeah, that's true. You know, maybe. I don't know. But the some of the feedback is I think they appreciated the truth, you know, because I think just the world we live in, I think there's a lot of guys who grow up never being told hard truths in a loving way, you know, who have never been told no in a loving way. And so these are some of the enjoyable parts as a coach, is you get to do that. And it's not always received well, you know, and there's a lot of conversations that need to be had, you know. But it's really fun to see just the development taking place for certain guys, the maturity, and seeing guys grow up.
Did they respond? Okay, so you hear that the first day. It's going to be pretty raw. You're seeing it up there. This is why I'm not at the level I need to be. A couple days go by, though. Is it received better? I guess this was right at the beginning of the summer. So did you feel like once it kind of the initial shock of, hey, this is, you're not where you need to be, once that kind of goes over them, then is it back to dial in? All right, we're mad for a day or two, but now it's the time to dial in because we want to get there. Did you kind of see that transition take hold?
I think you saw a lot of guys receive it in the right way. You know, put yourself in that position, like your coach, not in a malicious way. Your coach says, you're not where you need to be because you don't love football.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the reality. Just like, I think human nature is there's okay, we're up here where this is where we want to be, and then this is where we think we are, but really we're right here. And so as a coach, that's where it's our job to provide that feedback and like, no, you're not where you actually think you are. Like, you really don't love football. I think you really enjoy football. You really like football or the things that it comes with, or you like being out on the field at playing the actual game. But if you think about what it looks like, and we explain that to the guys, like, it was a really great thing because it was a discussion, and we said, okay, what does a guy that loves football look like? Like, what does it look like to love football? Like, if you love football, you're going to pass all your classes because you got to do school to play football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you love football, yeah, if you get hurt, you don't stay hurt because you're doing everything you can to get back on the field. You're not just doing the minimum. You know, you live in the training room. Like, if you love football, you are very intentional about what goes in your body. You know, if you love football, you watch film. It's not just, oh, I'm – like, if you love football, it shows in the way that you take the field and the level of respect that you have for your opponents. And so we asked the guys, what does it look like to love football? And like, who do you guys – just name a guy in this room that loves football, you know? And like, one guy that they pointed – that multiple guys pointed out was Ezra Ekubun, you know? And he's in there he's in the weight room early, getting his prehab. He takes care of his body, like – just the way he goes about his preparation, and that's just one of multiple guys. There's multiple guys that I could highlight, but he's one, and I point him out because he was a safety in high school. Now he's playing D end, you know, and one does not go from a safety to a D end without working hard to change your body to get to a target body weight that you need in order to play that position at a high level. And he's done that, you know, and he's obviously had great examples around him as mm-hmm. well. And but that's one guy. And so, I think our players appreciated it. There were some guys like who I think that they probably thought they'd be considered tier one that were actually tier three.
Wow.
And it was, yeah, you could tell if body language, 70% of communication is nonverbal and body language speaks. And you saw some demeanors change, once that went up. And I'm really excited to do that activity again with the rest of the coaches on defense and see who moved from different tiers. You know?
Can I ask, and again, you can no comment this, but is there a number or like an average number you can give us of like the tier one guys at that time, or do we not want to get too deep into that?
No, I don't know like an exact number off the top of my head, but I'll just say there was not enough.
Yeah.
That was the brutal facts, is there are not enough tier one guys right now for us to play the level of defense that we say we want, that we have the talent to play, that we believe that we can play, but we just need to get more guys out of tier three and out of tier two and into tier one.
Who are those? You mentioned Ezra Ekubun, and who doesn't love that name? You know, especially because his dad played for the Broncos for a little bit. I mean, we're in video game week talking about the new college football game that came out. Well, I'm a Madden guy, and I remember always making sure I was playing. I would play as a D lineman. I play as his dad all the time, so that would be a fun interview sometime. You talked about him a bit. Who else kind of stands out as some of the leaders on the linebacking side of things for this defense? Because this is a group you said, hey, we don't know if we love what's going on with this defensive line. This is a group we would like to see some improvement from very soon.
Well, first, I think just highlighting guys, like a guy that stands out to me on the defense that has really emerged as a leader. And again, there are multiple guys that deserve to be talked about.
But yeah.
One guy that really jumps out to me is Sam Iongiami Tuane. And man, that's a guy. He transferred in from a Division III school that had been there for 2 years, never won a game. He's done 3 years of college football and has never won a game.
Wow.
And you talk about a guy who's got gratitude, a guy who is hungry, a guy who his daily standards are aligned with his goals is Sam. And he, you know, he's vocal, but a lot of what he does, he just goes about his business and he pushes himself and he pushes his teammates, and he'll let his teammates know if you know they're giving tier two effort or tier three effort. He's not afraid to let his teammates know. So I think it's appropriate to highlight that guy. And like that's a guy who's really stood out to me throughout his time here, you know, and going into his senior year. I know a lot of his teammates are counting on him. But within the linebacking core, you know, a guy that's really stood out to me that is really a young guy is KJ Smedley. He's out of Palmer Ridge. He actually was committed here. He had been committed by the previous staff, and when we got here and was all queued up to enroll in December out of Palmer Ridge High School. And so, you know, as a coach, when you come in, you know, I really respect the way that Ed went about it. We didn't come in and just push a bunch of guys out. Yeah. You know, guys that really the guys that weren't the right fit would find their way out. Like you said, the portal is your friend. And if you didn't belong, it was uncomfortable for you. And guys would willingly leave. And that's nothing personally against the players that left, because we love those guys and we appreciate the effort and the work that they did put in. It's just that this place was just no longer the right fit for them, and maybe somewhere – and obviously somewhere else was a better fit for them, you know. And that's okay, right? Like, there's not just a one-size-fits-all organization, and so and that's okay. But, you know, you look at KJ – he came in weighing 185 pounds when he first got here. By the end of winter training, he'd gotten up to 205 pounds, and now I think he was kind of bragging to me yesterday. He's up to 220, you know. Wow. And so what is that, 35 pounds over the course of a year and a half, you know, and. But just the way he goes about his business, how he is in the classroom, how he interacts with his teammates, he's really a guy that stood out to me as someone that's trying to lead. And he's going to be a freshman, redshirt freshman. You know, some other guys that I think deserve being highlighted are Keenan Guthrie. You know, and he comes from a football family, and I don't know if you know some of his relatives or not. But he's a pretty popular guy around here. His uncle is like Uncle John Lynch is his uncle.
Wow, that's a pretty good company right there.
Yeah, and he's got cousins that are coaching. He's got cousins that, you know, he had a cousin that just went and signed and who's out off in Nebraska now. Like, you know, a kid that we had looked at prior to Nebraska coming in.
Wow.
He's done a really nice job striving to lead and leading by example. And those are two guys that I just think they set the example with their academics, the way both of those are tier one guys. They're both tier one guys. They love football. They watch film. They prepare. And both of them, are unproven. You know, I think the whole backer group right now is unproven. You know, we've got some guys who have played some snaps, but we really don't have anybody that's been in that full-time, been a full-time starter, you know. And so this year we're going to come in with new starters at the linebacker position. And there are some position battles going on right now I think it's going to come down to the end of fall camp.
Is that a comfortable thing for you to know you have a lot of open position battles, or is that a good thing that you look at that and go, man, I kind of like this somehow? Where I know guys are going to be extremely hungry. It's going to make things very entertaining as we get set for that first game. Or would you rather be sitting here July 17th going, I got most of this figured out. I know where these guys are going to be. It's their jobs to lose if they come out and they screw around. Which one would you rather be going in? Because sometimes that competition can make things even better than before.
I agree with what you're saying. I think we have an idea of the core group of guys that are going to be major contributors. And now what we still need to figure out now is, all right, who's going in the game first?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think we have at least, you know, four or five guys that I consider to be winning players. You know, I think there's KJ, I think there's Sione Tuha, I think Zach Nowatzki had a great spring and is doing a lot of really good things. I think Keenan Guthrie, I think Peyton Polson gives us something. And again, all those guys are unproven players. You know, I mean, some of them have played snaps and we're contributors, and you know, and Keenan gave us a lot of snaps towards the end of the year last year. But most of them are unproven. And so, but I any of those guys that I named, I have no hesitation with them in the game. And now it's just about determining who's going in first now. And it's good. It's brought that competition that you were talking about. It's a really good thing. And I think the more you can help players be uncomfortable, because now we're playing the tier one guys, right? Like if you're not watching film, you're gonna have a hard time getting on the field. If you're not at your target body weight, we're gonna have a hard time. I'm not gonna go out there with a backer that's, you know, got little arms and a pencil neck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that just what it's doing is it's forcing the guys to give more, and it's forcing the guys, if you're a tier two guy, it's forcing them to become a tier one guy. And if it's too uncomfortable for them, well then, like Lambo says, it's the portal is your friend. But I'm really excited about the position battles. It's like I said, we're unproven. But I think from a talent standpoint, I think we have talented players that we just need to get in and just play ball and get reps.
August 31st at Incarnate Word, first game of the season. We're getting to that month mark. We're getting down to it, Coach. Can you tell us when does that team come into focus, Incarnate Word? When do you start really diving into all things what they're about? Or do you wait? I mean, obviously, you're going to have an idea of what this team is right now. I get that. But when do you really start diving full in developing that game plan? Does it start the week before, or does it start like now, pretty quick?
You know, we've, as a staff, you know, we've already delving into them and have a general idea of who they are. As far as game plan, you know, we have an idea of what we're going to like. And so we're trying to tailor what we're doing and to give as much preparation for that game as we can. But we're still figuring out who we are, mm-hmm. you know, and I think it's about what can we be our best at, you know, what calls or what coverages or what fronts can we execute at the highest level. And I think it's first continuing to figure out, you know, as guys are coming into new roles and as guys are still developing, it's about still continuing to figure out what are we the best at, you know, and what can we be our best at. And once we figure that, you know, then it's about tailoring what that is to what they do, you know. But fortunately, we did play them last year. It's the same quarterback coming back who is really, really, really good and who I think has NFL arm talent. And they've got great skill players coming back. They've got a good old line, you know. And so we have a general idea of who they are, at least identity-wise, and who some of their best players are. And there's going to be new faces, you know, with the transfer portal and guys that come into increased roles for them from a year ago. But it's very general right now. And right now we're just focusing on us and just focusing on getting good at what we do.
What does the schedule look like for you guys next as far as getting – Coach told us a couple of weeks ago, he said once you hit the 4th of July – everything really starts to move pretty quickly. You know, you start really getting into that mode. What does the next couple of weeks look like for you guys, Coach?
Yeah, it's just after the 4th, that's really where you really, as a coach, you start to lock in. And so for us, that preparation is still just walkthroughs, focusing on just the skills and fundamentals that we believe it takes to win, to play great defense. And really, you know, what does a great football player look like? It's really someone who can defeat a block and make a tackle in addition to. And so those are two of the skills and fundamentals that we focus on daily and that we've been focusing on with our players. And if you look at some of the, you know, guys from last season who played really well for us and did some great things for us, it was really guys that did that. You know, guys like, you know, Noah Mangum, you know, I thought he did a great job defeating blocks and making tackles. Guys like that D-line, Sam, MJ, Marcus Howard, Kevon Lakes, like all those guys, those are at the attributes that they had that I think made them so successful last season. So for us, that's really what it looks like, is just dialing in, locking in, and doubling down on just what we philosophically believe is what it takes to play great defense. So hopefully that answers.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. You're getting me pumped up as always. I've been this way ever since we started these podcasts, though. I mean, just listening to you, listening to Coach Lamb, listening to other assistants or coordinators get into this and talk about it. It has been one of the greater joys for me. So you talked a lot about gratitude early on, and I absolutely love doing these and getting a chance to sit and listen to you guys. Very grateful for that opportunity. So, Coach, thank you for making some time to pop in today, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, like I said, I think it will always be about gratitude. I'll tell you a story. I have a cousin who I'm close with, and he's older than me. He's about like 8 or 9 years older than me. But anyways, he's a dentist and runs a practice out in Oklahoma. Mm. And I was talking to him the other day, actually, and he just brought on this new partner that just bought into his practice, and I was asking how it's going, and how's it been working with his partner, and he said some of their biggest struggles is he's like, yeah, my partner, he's got this millennial mindset. I'm like, what do you mean millennial mindset? You know, he's like, he thinks he deserves this, but only is putting in this much effort or this much time. And I think that's a problem. That's really just what's one of the issues in college football. And I think just in society, you know, us as millennials or Gen Z, you know, especially millennials and Gen Z, you know, I think that the generations before us have it figured out. But I think our generation still needs to figure it out. But I think there's just a lot of entitlement right now in college football. I think there's a lot of entitlement just in society. And just
100%
agree. As we as a society continue to evolve with the internet and we just get smarter and better, right? Like it's a really hard thing to manage, right? And that's why I just think that gratitude is the antidote to entitlement. And that's just my goal as a coach, as a coordinator, is to just root out any entitlement that is in the program and really just inject as much gratitude as we can, because the teams, the units, the position groups, the best ones I've been a part of, they all had gratitude and they all had very little entitlement. And so that's really what that's really our goal, is just to help guys learn that and which essentially is just about being a good person.
Yeah, I mean, we see it here on the radio side too. I mean, you'd be surprised. So many people that reach out, they instantly say, well, I want to be on the air. That's what I want to be. Well, you're going to have to do it. When I started out, it was shoveling snow, you know. It was cleaning up the bathrooms a little bit, going out, getting on my hands and knees, connecting cables, setting up for remote broadcasts. So we see the same kind of thing here. But when you get that rare one to come in and say, he'll ask about money later, or she'll ask about money later, but it's, hey, what? I'll do anything. If it's holding a broom, I will hold a broom. If it is, you know, taking the phone and calling, making sales calls, doing whatever, those are the real ones. And I would imagine that's true with any profession, any program, any club. Finding those characters is tough to do, but when you find them, it can make all the difference.
Yeah, that's just organizational behavior right there. And it's just about bringing in tier one people, bringing in the right people that fit your culture, that want to drive the culture, and that want to be aligned with the head coach, the athletic department, the admin, and everybody involved. And it's just about it's life is all people, you know. And the way that you really build a better world is you build a better you. And so I think that principle exists in any organization, whether it's radio, whether it's at the grocery store, and it's just about maximizing your role and being grateful for that role and really believing that what you do matters. And so that's really the culture we're trying to create, is that every role matters. Because I think in organizations, you know, everybody needs to have a defined role, and all those roles matter. Like my dad growing up, he was the janitor of our elementary school, and he loves it. You know, I'm not saying that's what I would want to do.
Yeah.
But he loves it because he loves the kids, he loves the people. And what was really cool was when I'd go recruiting to the local high school, you know, they'd always be like, hey, Hadley, are you related to Mr. Hadley at Grovecrest? I'm like, absolutely. Yeah, you know it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I tell this story to the players. It's the story of this janitor that worked for NASA. And every day the CEO would leave and that janitor is just relentlessly cleaning, relentlessly emptying trash cans, just maximizing his role. And then finally one day the CEO, he stops and he says, "And why are you like, why you're the janitor? Why are you working the way that you're working?" And the janitor, you know, delightfully responds back to him. He says, "Because I helped put a man on the moon." You know, and he viewed his role as that, like he is helping put a man on the moon. And so the more roles and the more pride that we can instill in our players in their role, you know, the better off we're going to be, because it doesn't matter whether you're the starter, a backup, a scout player, and not just with the players, but again, talking about alignment within the whole organization, the strength coaches, as soon as everybody takes that level, you know, has that level of pride and ownership in their role, I think you're going to start to see this thing take off.
Yeah. Well, I absolutely love it, and I'm excited. We're getting close to it. Off the top of your head, when does fall camp start for you guys, Coach? Do we have an exact date?
Yeah, I think report day for us is July 31st is report day, and I think we're practicing August 1.
All right, man.
So we're going to get it cracking.
You're going to get after it. I'm going to try to make some plans to get out there. I want to see you guys early and get an opportunity to check out some Bears practice, too, very soon. So I'm looking forward to it.
Definitely. It'd be good to have you out there.
Defensive coordinator for the UNC Bears, Preston Hadley. Great job by you. We hit over the one-hour mark. That's the limit. That's when you know you're good. So we appreciate it, Coach.
No, I appreciate you having me on.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Football 52, this has been episode 24. We'll be back with the Big 25 coming up next week. Be sure to keep it on these podcasts. Find them at 1310kfk.com or through Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, all that stuff, Spotify as well. Football 52 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.